Grace, mercy, and
peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for our messages, our gospel reading heard before. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, as much as we don't like to think about it and come up with other ways of coping with this fear, we pray, Lord, that today we would see clearly that you are the only way to overcome fear of death, the grave itself. In the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Anybody not like one-way streets like me? I really don't like one-way streets. It always seems like whatever way I want to go, the street is going the opposite way. Especially when you're lost and you need to get home. Especially when you're downtown in Twin Cities and you're trying to get out, and it just seems like you just keep running into these one-way streets that want to bring you the opposite way. And there's actually, yes, a couple times when I did go the wrong way on a one-way. Have you ever done that before?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just not me. All right, makes me feel better. But thankfully, I quickly realized it and I turned around. Quickly realized the danger, I turned around and I went the other way, the right way. It seems like recently in these movies, there's always these car chases now. You know what they always do in the car chase? They swerve onto the oncoming traffic lane, right? It's the one-way lane, and they go the opposite way. They think they're really cool, don't they? And it's just amazing how they're just able to weave in and out of this traffic that's coming straight at them. And somehow they miraculously get through and escape their pursuer. But it doesn't really work that way in life, does it? If you were to do that, you probably wouldn't last 5 seconds on an oncoming highway lane. The truth is, one-ways probably help traffic, and they're there for a reason. They help us not to crash each other. And you imagine a life without street signs, maybe in some places. But in America, it won't work too well. We'll be running into each other. People won't be aware of consequences ahead. They won't be aware of dangers and road constructions and things like that. So, when Jesus says he's the one way, we kind of understand how we get offended by that, don't we? Jesus, one way. Anybody seen that sign? I don't think I've seen that sign. It would be kind of neat to see that driving by. Our sinful nature wants to say, no, Jesus, I want to go the other way. No, that's not the way. There must be another way. There must be a shortcut. Something else. It doesn't involve me suffering. It doesn't involve going through the things I'm going to go through. It's like a stubborn driver that doesn't want to ask for directions. Doesn't want to use the GPS. Think, I don't want to listen to that sign. So we go our own way, don't we? We end up hurting ourselves. We end up getting in an accident. We end up maybe on the wrong way. The wrong way. If it's not Jesus' way, all ends in dead ends. As much as I don't like one ways, I don't like dead ends even more. Then you're really out of luck. There's nothing to do. Do we realize this danger that Jesus sent? That he is the only way? And all those other ways really end up nowhere. They end up in a dead end. Because Jesus says that, we might say, You're not just like the house of Judah, right? Jesus, why don't you just make everybody go to heaven? Why don't you just let us all go there? Why don't you just say, you know, Buddhists and Hindus and everybody else, Muslims, you can just go there if we just try hard. You're not just to say you're the only way. You love it. You see, Jesus knows what it takes to get to heaven. He knows the cost. In some cases, yeah, there might be different paths you can get to get to the top of a mountain. But the reality is, sometimes there aren't. Sometimes the trails don't get you there. We're not all trying to get to the same goal. Other religions don't have heaven as their goal. Some of them just want to be reincarnated or get to this wonderful state of mind. God makes it very clear the way to heaven goes through Him. And He's going to judge us according to all of our deeds. So if we don't have Jesus, how will we get through when God looks at everything that we've done? Jesus says He's the way, truth, and life. He's not just merely pointing to the way. He's not merely teaching about the way. He says He is the way. Literally, that when we're with Him, we are on the right way. We are on the path of life. Even when people around us say we're not, nobody ever been driving and someone says, you're not going the right way. You're supposed to turn back there. That never happened. Sometimes they're actually right. Sometimes they're not. There'll be a lot of people in your life that tell you, you're going the wrong way. You gotta avoid conflict. You gotta get out of that. Jesus, that's just a crutch for the weak. It's just judgmental to say that He's the only way. Don't you know those are just old wives' tales? Well, when people say I'm not going the right way, I have a secret. No, I am going the right way. I have a little GPS. It tells me what way I should go. So even though my parents don't really like the idea of me not hearing their directions, I tell them if you just give me the address, you put it in my GPS, and I'll get there. They say, no, you gotta listen to me. You gotta go there, and then you gotta go there, and then you gotta go this. It's like, okay, I'll listen. So you know what, when I put it in the GPS, I get to where I'm going, as long as I listen to the GPS. There are some times when it screws up, because it's a GPS, and it's a man-made thing. But generally, when I listen to it, I get where I'm going. How much reliable, or how reliable is the GPS? Is it reliable? How much more reliable is Jesus when He tells us the way? How much more reliable is that? He's not going to fail. He's not going to somehow not be reliable because there's a new development in society or a new struggle or a new place of suffering or a new disaster. Oh, no. Oh, we can't use Jesus anymore. It's not going to happen. Jesus' way always works. Been the only way since the beginning of time. And that's why it's not unloving to say that He's the only way. It's unloving to say that He's not. It's not unloving to lead someone down a dead end. Oh, where are you trying to go? Okay, go this way. It'll lead to a dead end. Go to this way. It'll lead to oncoming traffic. By the way, I love you. I love you a lot. I'm sorry, I just don't want to hurt your feelings by saying that's not the right way. I just decided to let you go and ride into a car. right, but Jesus' ways are always just and always right. Thankfully for us, Jesus, on his way, is not a way that depends on our righteousness. It's a way where he meets the righteous requirement of the law for us, Romans chapter 8. It's a way that he goes ahead of us, so that everything coming at us has to go through him. Even grave itself. So that's why it says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he also will raise you from the dead and give you life. Because you see, Jesus, he's already gone this way. He's already gone to the grave. He's already gone through all the trials and all the sufferings that a person could ever face. He's come out the other side, victorious. He's defeated those enemies that you're afraid of. He's defeated the grave that you fear. He's shown you the way. It's with him. There's a lot of ways we can cope with this fear of death in the wrong way, right? We talked about all roads leading to heaven. We haven't talked about other ways, such as not thinking about it, or just saying, oh, I'll just think about death later when I'm actually sick or suffering. Leads to false security and dead ends, doesn't it? Maybe we choose not to believe in life after death and just to seek pleasure. This leads only to depression and despair. Life really has no meaning. There's a Robert Ingersoll. He was one of the America's leading agnostic today, and he describes his words at his brother's funeral. He had nothing good to say. He had no hope to give. All he could say was, life is a narrow veil between the cold and barren peaks of two eternities, and we strive in vain to look beyond the heights. Terrible. Is that a loving thing? Shakespeare and Hamlet said, death is the undiscovered country from whose born an old traveler returns. Sadducees denied the resurrection. Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but that it was only spiritual. They wanted to trust in their own good deeds to get there. The ancient Greeks at the time believed the soul would be ferried across the river Styx and released into an afterlife of shadows and shades and spirits. They denied the resurrection. And you see, the Jesus way, the only way, gives us a resurrection, not just spiritually, but physically. Gives us life, not just now, but when we die. Because Jesus says he's not just the way, he says he's the truth. Meaning that we can trust him. Meaning that everything he says is reliable. Just as he said this 2,000 years ago to his disciples, saying he was going to go away. He was going to die. But he would come back. That's exactly what happened. So when he says, I'm the way, and I'm going to come back for you, you can know that it's reliable. And he says, I'm the life. So death can't stop me. It can't stop you. Because I'm with you. Jesus says, my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you, if it were not so. Poet Robert Frost described home as the place that when you arrive, they have to take you in. place that you know you're going to be welcomed, accepted. This isn't any home, it's the Father's house. It's a place of everlasting peace and joy and love. A place where we'll be welcomed with open arms. Maybe some of you know that preparing for a trip to Colorado, doing my annual trip to Colorado to go to the mountains and climb around and hopefully escape death. But in order to get to Colorado, I have a little bit of a journey in front of me. I have an hour and a half drive to Minneapolis, and then I have a 3-hour flight to Denver. Then I have to go pick up a car, then I have to go drive a couple hours to get to Vail, to get to my friend's house. So you know what? I don't care. It doesn't bother me. In fact, I'm looking forward to it. You know why? Because my friends prepared a place for me. When I get there, he's going to be there with a smile. Open arms, saying, "It's good to see you. It's good to see you. Welcome. Got it all ready for you." That's what Jesus says to us. His disciples are about to witness his death, and have to face their own deaths. Jesus says, "Don't let that trouble your hearts. Don't let that make you afraid. Because in the grand scheme of eternity, it's not really that long. And you know the destination. And when you get there, I've prepared a place for you. I'm going to say, welcome home. Return to the joy of knowing me in all this fullness." That's why Jesus tells Thomas, "You know the way to where I'm going. But we haven't been there." He's not going to follow Jesus to death initially. Thomas knows the way because he knew Jesus. It's the same for you and me. There's nothing to fear. Jesus has conquered it all. He's borne your sins. He's given you his righteousness. So that you can not only be on the way, but know the way, truth, and life. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord.